Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard. Was hard, but not anymore, thanks to WonderSuite from Bluehost. Answer a few questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make
listeners, welcome to another episode of JoJo's Empowering Journey podcast, where we dive into inspiring stories and conversations that uplift and empower you on your own journey. I'm your host, JoJo, and today's episode is going to be truly transformative. So today I have the pleasure of welcoming a remarkable guest, Dana Saperstein. Dana is a clinical psychologist, a fellow podcaster, and an expert in helping individuals heal from PTSD. Welcome to the show, Dana.
Well, thank you.
So before we dive into our discussion, Dana, can you share a bit about your background and what led you to specialize in working with individuals dealing with PTSD?
Well, JoJo, my background is one of lots of trauma when I was a kid. I'm 68 years old now, but when I was a little kid, 4 years old, I got sexually abused. My father was a white-collar criminal, so we had to flee where I was born in Canada, and ended up living in Brazil for a short while. There was a revolution while we were there, so I saw the troops killing people, actually, when I was about 5 years old, which was incredibly traumatic. Ended up in California, where I was crossing the street, got hit by a truck. Well, luckily, I didn't get very hurt, but it was pretty scary. And that was just kind of the beginning of a pretty difficult life. I started therapy when I was about 19 years old. My parents could tell that I was fairly miserable. I spent the late 60s being on drugs most of the time, mostly marijuana. And when I started therapy, it really changed my outlook on life. And eventually I moved to Santa Barbara, where I live now, and found a therapist who really helped me enormously. And he actually convinced me to become a therapist. He told me that he believed that I was quite capable, and he was very instrumental in helping me go get my education and then begin my professional career.
Oh, wow. That's incredible, Dana. It's so important to have professionals like you who understand and empathize with the struggles people face. Now, for our listeners who might not be familiar, could you briefly explain what PTSD is and why it's crucial to address it?
Well, PTSD is post-traumatic stress disorder. I don't like the disorder part of the title, but people develop traumatic stress when they're being traumatized in some way. When we're experiencing trauma, we go into an altered state in order to cope. Usually you don't feel what's happening to you. When you're being traumatized, you go into a kind of like a trance in order just to make it through the experience. So the feelings associated with the trauma get buried inside your body, and then they start to create symptoms like anxiety, depression, feelings of being unsafe, exaggerated startle response. It's very, very common for people that have post-traumatic stress disorder to get involved in substances in order to cope with the trauma. And the sad thing is that traumatic stress never goes away. It gets buried inside your body, and then eventually you just start to develop symptoms, and things just come and get worse as time goes by. I've met people in their 80s that were actually in World War II 15 years ago, and their traumatic stress lasted all the way until, you know, maybe 10 years ago when somebody got in a car accident and it triggered, you know, their experiences in the war. So the reason that it's so important to deal with is because there are so many debilitating symptoms that go along with traumatic stress. There's a lot of people who mistake PTSD as only happening in war situations. And that's really not true. Any kind of child abuse and mistreatment can lead you to have post-traumatic stress. First responders are, it's really common for them because of what they're exposed to develop post-traumatic stress. So it's a big problem in our world.
Right, right. That's a powerful mission, Dana. Can you share some insights into the journey of healing from PTSD? What are some common challenges that people face, and how can they begin this empowering process?
Well, usually, if you have post-traumatic stress, you have symptoms that can sometimes be quite debilitating. It's really common to have anxiety, to have depression, to have trouble with substances. It really affects your relationships with other people because you become sort of hyper-vigilant all the time. So when someone comes to see me who's had a lot of trauma, you know, obviously they think that there's something wrong with them. What I try to help people understand is that your symptoms are a form of communication. And what they do is tell me, you know, what to look for and what to help you look for that's creating the symptoms rather than just looking at your symptoms as a problem, because usually the symptoms are a way of expressing deeper trauma.
Right. You mentioned that your journey into psychology stemmed from personal experiences. Could you elaborate on how those experiences shaped your approach to helping others with PTSD?
Well, I will say that the first really traumatic experience I had, I was 4 years old. I went into the hospital to have surgery. And during that period of time, your parents weren't allowed to go with you and stay in the hospital with you. They had to leave you there by yourself. So my parents left me in the hospital. An orderly came in the room and sexually abused me. And he told me that if I told anybody, he would kill me. The next morning, he actually was the orderly that wheeled me into the surgical suite. And because I was so young and really scared, I thought that, and he told me that he would kill me. I thought that when they were putting me under anesthesia, that they were actually killing me. So I remember screaming at the top of my lungs, "I won't tell, I won't tell." And that memory of being sexually abused got buried inside of my body all the way until I was in my 30s.
Wow.
Yeah, it was so traumatic. And I know that it affected my relationships because by the time I went through puberty, I was really self-conscious, super shy. I would never approach a woman. The only time I ever sort of went on dates or had any kind of experiences when somebody approached me because I felt so bad about myself. That was also coupled with my parents being very incapable. My mom, super anxious. My dad, but both my parents came from extreme poverty and anti-Semitism. Mm-hmm. So they were pretty tweaked by the time they became parents. So, you know, all of the stuff that happened to me and that didn't happen for me really helped me understand how trauma and neglect can really affect a person, both personally and professionally.
Right, right, for sure. What did the journey of healing from PTSD typically look like for individuals, and what are some common challenges that they may encounter?
Well, the biggest thing I think that gets in the way of healing is courage, the lack of courage, because in order to deal with the trauma, you have to go back and really sort of not almost relive it in a certain way. I do a lot of hypnotherapy with people. That's my main way of helping people deal with trauma. When you're being traumatized, you go into a trance to cope. And so using hypnosis is a deliberate recreation of the chemical and electrical state that you're in when you're being traumatized. But instead of just using it for coping, I've developed ways of helping people release and heal the feelings that need to come forward. And it's difficult to deal with those feelings. There can be a lot of really intense fear and anger and sadness. And so when I meet somebody who decides that they want to, heal their trauma, I give them sort of fair warning that they could go through a period of time where they feel very tender. Not that they won't be able to function, but really my job initially is to introduce you to your pain and then to show you how to release it from your body.
Right, right. As a clinical psychologist, What therapeutic approaches have you found to be particularly effective in helping people cope with and recover from PTSD?
Well, I think number one, I don't pathologize people that come to see me. The normal way that people are treated by a therapist based on our education and all of that is to, you know, you diagnose somebody, you agree with them, in fact, that there's something wrong with them, and then you come up with a treatment plan and try to help the person resolve whatever the issues are. I think that that's really disrespectful. It's bad enough that somebody feels bad about themselves, but to have a professional person agree with them that there's something wrong with them, I think is disrespectful and degrading. My idea is whatever symptoms you have are your way of communicating to me what it is that you're struggling with on a deeper level. So I try to help initially understand that, of course, the symptoms are difficult to deal with, but then you are not your symptoms and you're not your trauma. Those are things
right.
to you or didn't happen for you, and that they don't have to define who you are as a person, which most people believe, you know, that the things that happened to you, and every kid blames themselves. I obviously blame myself for everything that happened because I didn't know any better. You know, I'm just a kid, and you assume that if you're being mistreated or that something happens and you're threatened in some way, that the person is telling you the truth. And that, so, you know, I came into the world feeling really bad about myself, and that lasted a great deal of time until I got to
meet it. How important are support systems in the healing process, and what advice would you give to individuals seeking to build a strong support network?
Well, I'm an old guy, and one of the reasons why I started my podcast was to show the world that old guys were actually capable of talking about really important issues, and that there's no shame in talking about abuse, whatever the abuse may be. And so talking to other people and not looking at your, I love looking at myself, I guess, and using myself as an example that there's something wrong with me and that I don't ever need to be ashamed of that these things happen to me. It can be quite relieving. So it is really important to develop a group of friends that are not going to judge you and will understand what you're going through.
Right.
In my therapy, I also did a lot of group therapy at the time. So being able to talk about the things that happened to me with strangers or relative strangers was also quite helpful because I got a lot of compassion and support.
Right. And what's the name of your podcast?
It's called Fear Me Out. It's a
play. Hey, you guys.
Fear Me Out.
All right, you guys are going to have to check that out for sure. That's me too. I haven't got to really listen to it yet, but I definitely will. And now in your experience, Dr. Dana, what role does self-care play in the recovery journey from PTSD? Are there specific self-care strategies that you often recommend?
Well, I think that a lot of us don't treat ourselves very well, regardless of whether we have trauma or not. In America, we don't, generally speaking, have a very healthy diet and overuse drugs and alcohol and sometimes work and other things to avoid dealing with the pain that we're in. I think we're encouraged by the media to live in fear and
absolutely.
There's purpose behind that because if people are not afraid, they're not going to buy stuff to medicate themselves that they don't need. So, you know, I just try to help people understand that if you don't take good care of yourself, you're going to suffer more. And a big part of that has to do with how sensitive a person is by nature. I think that I work with a lot of really sensitive people, but, you know, it's a genetic quality that about 5 to 10% of the population have. And a lot of people that are really sensitive suffer inordinately as a result of their sensitivity. There's a lot of shame and judgment, especially if you're a man, about being sensitive. So I try to help people that are really sensitive understand that it's not something you have a choice over. You know, you can try to make yourself, in quotes, average or normal, and all you're going to do is suffer, because if you don't live according to your nature, you're just creating a lot of problems for yourself that are unnecessary. So, you know, most of the people I see come in feeling very prejudiced against themselves because they've been made to feel, you know, that something's really wrong with them, and the things that have happened to them sort of confirm those feelings, whether it's neglect or overt, you know, overt abuse.
Absolutely. How can communities better understand and support individuals dealing with PTSD, reducing stigma and fostering a more empathetic environment?
Well, I think that if people understood, if we use sexual abuse as an example, that about 7 out of 10 women have something sexual happen to them in the course of their childhood. Now, that ranges all the way from, you know, being fondled to being raped. So it's a big continuum. And I think about 6 out of 10 men are also have sexual experiences that they shouldn't when they're children. And I think that the statistic for men is underreported because men have a lot of shame about admitting being sexually abused. So I think that education is really important to understand that more than half the people around you probably have something bad happen to them in the sexual realm. That doesn't even include neglect and emotional and physical abuse. So
right.
It's a huge part of our society.
Right, right. There's often a stigma associated with mental health issues. Now, how can we collectively work towards breaking down these stigmas and fostering open conversations about PTSD?
Well, again, part of what I try to help people understand is that your symptoms, which could be labeled as, mental health issues, of course, they're problematic. I don't deny that if you're depressed or anxious or whatever the symptom may be, I don't deny that that's a problem. But it's not the problem. The problem is what it is that lives underneath that's creating those symptoms in the first place. And I try to help people understand that they're not their symptoms and they're not their trauma, as I said before, and that the more that you're willing to take a look at who you are and find the courage to heal, that takes a lot of courage, and those people are my heroes. And I tell people all the time how much I respect them and how much I appreciate their bravery. A lot of times men say to me, you know, how do you do what you do? You know, you got the biggest box of Kleenex I've ever seen. I can't handle when anybody cries in front of me and makes people uncomfortable. And my belief is that if somebody is willing to be really vulnerable in my presence, that's a compliment, because they feel they feel safe enough to let me know who they are. And I think that that's a huge compliment to me that, you know, a lot of times people say to me, well, I've said things to you that I would never say to anybody else because they're embarrassed or ashamed. So I try to help people resolve that shame and embarrassment so they feel more able to tell the truth.
Yes, and that's the type, we need more people like that. So you're also a podcaster.
Yeah.
How do you use your podcast platform to raise awareness about PTSD and mental health issues? What kind of impact do you hope to make through your podcast?
Well, I started my podcast, JoJo, because, I actually started with a friend. So 62 or 3 episodes of my podcast is a joint venture between me and a friend. And then after that, he decided not to do the podcast anymore. So I continued it on my own, and I just put out, I think, episode 107 last Sunday. I would say that about, maybe 80 of the 107 episodes are all about people telling their stories of PTSD and how they came to terms and healed. I've also interviewed professional people that I respect and had them talk about how they approach helping, so that when somebody's looking for a therapist, they know what to look for.
Right.
So it's kind of a combination of people, their heroic stories of healing, and professional people talking about who they are and how they got to into the field and what they have to offer. Because I want people to know that help is available.
Yeah.
I live in a very strange community. I live in Santa Barbara, which is now been identified as the 4th most expensive city in the world, which is not a good thing. But the good thing about it is that people can afford therapy very easily here. And in most places, that's not the case. So part of what I try to help people understand is that there is help available, even if you don't have much money. Everybody that becomes a therapist has to go through training, and they work for organizations where they offer very low cost counseling. And some of those people are actually really good. There's a couple of people I refer to that are still in training that have better skills than people I know that have been in practice forever. So
right.
I tell people, please don't let money hold you back.
Right.
If you get a hold of a local psychological association in the community that you live in, they can put you in touch with the training opportunities in the community you live in. And those places are where you can get low-cost counseling if you can't afford, to pay the going rate.
Right. As we look toward the future, are there emerging trends or developments in the field of PTSD treatment that you find particularly promising or exciting?
Not necessarily in the field of PTSD, other than it's becoming more widely understood. There's a couple of young people I see in their early 20s that are planning on becoming therapists. I'm paying it forward like I was when I was young, by encouraging people to consider it as a career, who I believe are extremely talented. And the other day, a young woman said to me, is AI going to take over? Is AI going to take over the world and that there won't be a job for me? And my response is that if anything, AI is going to make things worse, because the lack of connection that young people have, it to me is very frightening. So I think that what we're going to see more than anything is therapists helping young people learn how to reconnect and have actual real relationships with people. Because there's so much disconnection because of social media and cell phones and all of that.
Right. Such invaluable insights, Dana. As we wrap up our conversation, what advice would you give to our listeners for the last time who may be currently dealing with PTSD or supporting someone on their healing journey?
Well, I would say, first of all, don't let the shame or your embarrassment get in your way, because it's more than half the people in the world that you know have had trauma happen to them. And you can see what happens when people don't deal with their trauma. They suffer a lot. Think about all the drug and alcohol abuse and all the overwork and all the issues with food and all the different symptoms that people develop. And I would say that, generally speaking, those symptoms represent unresolved trauma, as far as I'm concerned.
Right, exactly. And if anyone wants to listen to your podcast about the PTSD, where could they go?
Well, you can either go to fearmeoutpodcast.com, or my name is Dana Saperstein, and you can go to danasaperstein.com. Both of those will lead you to my website, where all of the episodes of the podcast are available.
Thank you so much, Dana, for sharing your expertise and insights on healing from PTSD. It's been an enlightening conversation. I'm sure our listeners have gained valuable takeaways, for sure.
I would encourage anybody who has questions to reach out to me. I'm spending the latter half of my life trying to help as many people as I can, so I am very much open to any kind of questions and ideas about what people would like to learn about. So I ask people not to hesitate to reach out to me through my website.
Definitely. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this episode of JoJo's Empowering Journey. Again, Dana, thank you so much for being on my show. Remember, listeners, that no matter what challenges you face, you have the strength within you to overcome them. Until next time, stay empowered and keep shining bright.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.